Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I love being black. Do you love being black? Yeah, I love being black. Hey, I do this for my people all across the globe. Hey, it's Frank.
The skin of men fit me fine, tailor made, yeah, I'm comfortable. And so it seems I'm still chasing my dreams. They told me, watch my steps, they want to pull the rug from under me. This is transparency, my life 3D. You live every word that I utter, reporting live from the gutter. Where the mind's hard to change, but we don't give up on our brothers and sisters. Cause we all need one another. The time's getting closer, revolution, feel it coming. I can smell it in the air. Inhale it, let it embody you. Because chances are the cops where you are when they body you. Plus we don't trust each other, so that's just another obstacle. Why jump hurdles to make a change? It ain't optional. Olympian mindset in this booth with my binoculars. I see my vision getting clear, just as what a prophet do. My music touch the people's soul, black power gospel tune. So many styles, watch me kick them like they soccer moves. Falling rank and file, this is my platoon. Soldiers at attention, ain't no Willie Lynchin'. This the program, who they think they getting? Reinvent the system, total reconstruction of our mental sigma. This ain't a game, boy. Still they think I'm talking about Nintendo, that's a shame, boy. Augment reality, better fix your brain, boy. I love my people, hope they love me black. I'm going hard and ain't no holding back. Watch me react, I put my fist up in the skies like a beacon for believers that one day we return to our greatness. If we seek it, all the guard, we can obtain it, keep reaching, keep reaching. I'm painting this picture, I hope you see it. Just what the theme is.
I love being black. We turning up.
I love being black. Say it loud.
Man, I love being black.
One more time.
Man, I love being black. Hey, hey.
gift. I give you these jewels that you rarely find, and these Nagash shoes fit me very fine. Catch me on these avenues, I'm trying to reach their mind. Man, you know that black power music, it gets no playing, they ride until they put that brick in, and now they feeling my vibe. I start to slowly see they fists on the rise, see it's intense from their eyes. It's kinda hard to come to grips, make the decision inside. I ain't gonna lie, it took some time to make some sense in my mind. Now all I feel is a sense of this pride, incorporated in these lyrics and this vision of mine. To make a change for my people, wish this wish to taste the sweeter. The pain runs deeper, you can feel it through the speakers, huh? 400 years of pain, turn the page. Every story looks the same. They snapping pictures as he hangs. Emmett Till was killed for whistling and being brave. And y'all still run asleep with the beast from the cave. My knocker said you should be ashamed. The black woman, the goddess, said she come in many shades with the power to create greatness. Her DNA melanated on display, absorbing these sun rays. Rock, I make a wonder as I'm building this collage. I feel the power of the people fully amplified live. My mission is to make a difference. Recognize I'm watching for the agents in disguise. I describe my struggle, my hustle kept it pushing like Lamar's, giving birth to a nation on the rise. As I scribe the soundtrack to the revolution, telling vibes, telling lies, trying to stop the movement. So you gotta keep a semi like you came from Zamunda. And yes, I'm in my prime like the minister Lamoon, but it's the program for your system. I ain't talking about computers, speaking proper installation for our future. And don't you confuse it. Some people outdated, so they might refuse it. Eternal glitches, so it's time to reboot them. Aim high, stay low, send a shot from the Ruger. Focus on our survival, formulate a conclusion. This is real, swear this ain't no illusion. Try to elude it, but you can't. Martial law, got the coppers in the tank. Renegade, got this bug out bag right by the door, just in case it's time to break. Make a movie, play the game, this high stakes. All across the country, I be on these highways, flying through these clouds to reach my people's mind state. Wide awake, I ain't sleeping with the sheeple. Right fist high, all power to the people. Black power got me charged up. Somebody check the meter. Now I need them, my locks hang freely as I praise my inner being. Child of the universe, I'm just sightseeing as I take you on this tour to give you more. And I ain't talking nationality. Them pigs is at your door, can give a fuck about blacks' laws. That's corn gang family. These is definitions, just really your formality. I put power in the words that I speak in. Black absorbs all color. This is me, I am the walking constellation. Birthed by the galaxy, observation through telescopes. It couldn't capture what I see. I thought something in these books would make me feel more complete. Still searching, but I know I'm royalty. I'm a king, they tried to hide it, but I seek till I'm fatigued. No Marines are on me. To the chief, and kept it flowing like the Navy. Air forced them to retreat. Reenacted D-Day and drop bombs on the beat. Laying mines on the track, beware where you place your feet. Yeah, I'm 10 toes down till they lay me 6 deep. Return as the ghost of Rick, even my spirit won't sleep. Non-stop, relentless, no time clock. Invented, can mark the date of this classic composition. I'm pinning between these bars, give you a wealth of wisdom. If you can read between the lines, notice I'm painting the picture from the book of bricks, so this ain't no scripture. Amen, the flow sacred, religion's in fact, the people quoting my statements. What will brick do across their bracelets? Show how strong their faith is for me to change it. And with that said, I made arrangements for this faceless, infinite information on pages that I created. My notebook so swole that it won't close. I'm going hard, introduction to the outro. You ain't repping for your people, keep your mouth closed. Like the Bible Belt, they love me in a sophomore. I think my mind first changed as a sophomore. Looking through history books, really without no. Blacks saw the same names, repeatedly learned about those. Now Trump building a wall for the Vatos. Muslims can't fly back either, had to reroute those. Strips and gun stores sold out, know what to watch for. And watch what you say, freedom of speech soon will be outlawed.
Peace, 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 and black power family. Welcome to another episode of Dude Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born of Law. And we are here on our Liberation, Truth and Prosperity Thursday episode. The phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions, with your comments. It becomes an honor and privilege at this time to introduce the son and present to others. Tonight's guest, Black by Popular Demand, my brother and warrior teacher, Brother Abdul, is in the building. Peace, peace, Brother Ab. What's going on, Jay?
Peace and Black Liberation. What's going on with you, family?
I'm good. Anxious to get down to this nitty gritty here, you know what I'm saying, with you. on this part two session. You know, we had a magnificent part one, you know, for the family that's listening. You know, check us out on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Do Knowledge Radio on YouTube. And this is a part two of a phenomenal conversation and a large and much needed conversation of solving the race problem. So we have the founder who took up this initiative here with us on this evening, my brother Abdul. In the building.
What's up? Peace. Thank you. Appreciate that. And I wanted to shout you out and, you know, to pass along for other brothers and sisters and let you know the importance of channels like this for people to exchange information that's constructive, that's powerful, in helping to lead our people in the right direction. So, you know, shout out to you, Brother Knowledge Born. Shout out to your platform. As a brother mentioned, Brother Abdul, you can get in contact with me by going to solvetheraceproblem.org. Again, that's solvingtheraceproblem.org. You can email me at solvingtheraceproblem@gmail.com. Again, that's solvingtheraceproblem@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and get into it, brother.
Hey, my brother, you got the floor. You know, you laid some precursory work, some really detailed precursory work. You see what I'm saying? So we wanted to kind of shift gears in examining the problem to looking at solving the race problem. So you got the floor, brother. I'm just here.
All right, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. And like I said, thanks for having me. So what I do, I have a business, and I started it up. It's called Solving the Race Problem. And basically what I do is talk to other brothers and sisters. I've been on a college circuit. I've been able to go to a few national conventions and do workshops centered around Black empowerment through solving the race problem, because my name, the name of the company, is to do exactly what it says, is to solve the race problem, because I've noticed that we're dealing with a lot of problems as a community, and we're looking at the problem, but we don't know how to solve it. I think that a lot of the warrior scholars, a lot of the intellectual warriors that came before me, from everybody to Medgar Evers, to Kwame Ture, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, you know, a whole long list, people, Francis Cress Wells, and they all made their contributions to solving the race problem. And that's what I see myself as doing, is making my contribution to solve the problem, the ultimate problem, which is systematic racism, white supremacy. So me doing my part within the relay race of Black liberation, because the people before us, they ran their part, they passed off the baton to us. So now is this generation's time to run our part in the relay race, pass off the baton to the next generation, set them up in a position that we can all eventually reach the end goal, and the end goal is Black liberation. So through this interview, through all of the work that I'm doing, through the work on this platform, through the Brother on Blog Talk Radio, through the knowledge here, the YouTube channel, everybody's trying to reach that ultimate goal, which is Black liberation. So like I said, the problem is, the elephant in the room is systematic racism, white supremacy. That's the elephant in the room that we're all looking at. Now, what happens is, a lot of times we will look at symptoms of racism. We'll look at symptoms of the problem. I'm going to get into a few of those symptoms that we recognize. Something like police brutality. We'll be up in arms. We'll see police brutality. We'll speak about it. It'll be on the news, and we'll be upset about it for a few weeks, but rarely, if ever, do we address the root cause of it. Things like abortion, things like diabetes, high blood pressure, substance abuse, gang culture, the education, gentrification, like all of these problems that we address and we try to tackle, we rarely, if ever, get to the root cause of it, because it's so many different symptoms of racism that we're dealing with. We don't usually connect the dots and say that, okay, we're looking at a system dynamic. This system of racism is affecting our economics. It's affecting our education, our entertainment, our labor, our law, our politics, religion, sex, war, healthcare, housing. Like the big problem is affecting all these other things. So what might happen is, we'll be in economics, we'll see the disparity, we'll run into racism there. We'll see the miseducation factories in the school. We'll run into racism again. We'll see the entertainment where, you know, Black people are locked out of certain positions, run into racism there. But what I do is connect the dots for everybody and give us context on what the problem is that we're trying to solve. So why am I trying to do that? Because if you go to a doctor and you say that you have a stomach virus, or you're saying that your stomach hurts, and they give you an ice pack for your head, that's not a solution to that problem. That's not going to help you out. So if the doctors are doing a clear and concise job, they can figure out that it might not be a stomach ache, it might be a virus, it might be cancer. But you have to take some time to really dissect and look at and analyze the problem in order to come up with the best solution. And like that brother had mentioned, we had a real good build on the YouTube channel. So make sure you go check that out on Do the Knowledge Radio on the YouTube channel. So we dealt with a lot of those problems and what they look like within contemporary Black society. So today what I want to do is focus on the other side of some practical solutions that we can implement today, tomorrow, for the next 25 years that will help us in that relay race. So as I look at the Black condition today, 2018 going on 2019, I kind of think of it as three paths that we have. Like we're sitting out at a crossroad of three different options. One of those options, path one, is cooperation. We can continue to cooperate like we're doing now. That's the easiest path. We're cooperating. We're getting miseducated. We're ignorant of the political system. We're not operating within, we're not operating within the paradigm or challenging the system. We're just cooperating with it. That's lane one. That's where I find that most of our people are occupying that space. Lane two, option number two, is to petition. To petition against the racist white supremacist system that we see, and petitioning against that would be something like participating in the political system that they have, participating in the economic system that they have, but trying to use their system in ways to petition against them to improve our condition. I do see some people attempting to go down that path. That's the path of petition. It's probably a little more difficulty that we'll reach there, but it could involve forming treaties, talking to the UN, but it's petitioning the system either way. So option number one, like I said, is the easiest path, is cooperation, assimilation, continuing what we're doing. Option number two is petitioning, using the political system, using the education system. Now, option number three is the path that we do not travel down. It's a path that if you look in the mirror and ask yourself, why haven't we chosen this path? We've picked path one and path two pretty consistently for the past 50 years. Why haven't we addressed path three? You got to look yourself in the mirror. Do we lack the courage to address it? And what is path three? It's to revolt. It's the most difficult one. It will take the most work. It'll take the most time, and it'll be the most difficult. But the most long-lasting results will be in path three if we're serious about solving our problems. Path three, the path of revolt, would involve ripping down and dismantling the system that we're now a part of. Path three would involve building up infrastructure, building up a new system, replacing parts of it that don't work. Path three might even involve some counterviolence. So as you look yourself in the mirror and you think about the Black condition, are you doing everything in your power? Are you making the best decision for you and those around you to choose which path you think Black liberation will be on? Because if the end goal is Black liberation, we got to think, is it path one, path two, or path three? What I'm saying is path three, that most difficult path, we might have a few warrior scholars that have ventured down that path, and we kind of let them go. We didn't even go look to see what they left behind for us down path three. We haven't checked to see is any of that applicable today. But that third path of revolt is something that I'm going to shine some light on, that you as a Black person today, 2018, 2019, can make the best decision that you see fit for you in helping to improve your condition. So to give you some context on some of the work that I do the workshops. I get into this more about laying down the problems on one half of it and also addressing the solutions on the other half of the presentation. And what I do, I put in some of my work and the basis of the research that I ground everything in this is my own theoretical work. I call it disrealization theory. It's DRT. And basically what it is, the tenets of disracial realization theory is that black people today do not understand our racial position. What does that mean? That means that we do not understand racism, white supremacy as it's currently constructed. We will recognize symptoms of racism, but we will rarely recognize the causes of it. The cause is the root of the problem. If we're serious about changing it, you got to rip it up from the roots to really truly deal with the problem that we see. So disracial realization theory is something that I find most conversations I have with people, they don't understand the nature of the problem that we are dealing with. So for those of you that do understand the nature of the problem, I'm going to give you a few solutions that I talk about, and I'll get into a few of them. I advise that we start to teach adults what this system is, how it works, and how we can overcome it. So I know a lot of times conversations go to, we have to get the youth, we have to get the youth. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, but I also think that there is some room to talk to brothers and sisters that are adults, brothers and sisters that are able to make changes today in real time. Why is that? Because if you look at an example like Malcolm X, somebody reached Malcolm X when he was in adulthood. They didn't, you know, reach him as a youth. Now, think if they did reach him as a youth, you know, what he could have went on to become. But reaching adults, that's still something that we can do. We shouldn't just ignore the adults and say, oh, they're adults, they already made their mind up, because we can certainly reach the adults and get changes in real time, as opposed to trying to plant the seed in somebody who's 12, 13, and it may or may not manifest. But if we can get adults on board, then we can have their minds right to spread the information to the next generation. Another concept is the Blacksit. The Blacksit is blacks exiting out of the system. Meaning what? Meaning that black people exercise the right of non-participation. Non-participation in what? Non-participation in the educational system. Stop going to their colleges. Stop going to their universities. I've done an entire presentation on why I think college is a scam, and I can break that down if you want to get into it more. But non-participation in the economic system, in the education system, non-participation in the education system, non-participation in the labor system. Now, what this does, because right now we're in a system of capitalism. Capitalism is a horse and jockey economic system, meaning that you have a horse that's running and doing all of the hard work. You have a jockey on his back that's kind of going along for the ride, who gets all of the credit and gets all of the money for it. In this economic system, most black people today are in the condition of the horse. We're the ones doing all of the hard work, but not getting the credit or not getting the proper funding. So what that would mean for the economic system, if the cogs in a machine, which we are, we're the moving parts that are doing all of the hard work, if we stop working, that could effectively cripple the system. You'd have a lot of leverage as far as non-participation. And the reason why this is crucial to at least put on the table and discuss, at least talk about it and throw it out as an option, because right now with the current immigration reform, we're witnessing a new class of workers that's being bought into the country to replace you. So the leverage that you have is now, because if the immigration trend continues as it will, you'll be useless within the economic system. They wouldn't find a role for you. So, you know, more problems of us relying on the white system to employ us. But even within that small example, you'll see that right now is a crucial time for us to at least explore the option. And again, big picture, I'm giving out options, putting options on the table. You can think about it with your circle and everybody that's listening, and think about it and put these options on the table. See what might work, see what might not work, take out parts and add in, you know, because the biggest emphasis that I want to get across is that to achieve black liberation, we need a dog in every fight. There's no options that aren't off the table. We have to exhaust every single option, because there have been plans from the past that we can take from. But right now, black liberation is just an idea. You know, it's a very powerful idea, but I'm talking about it. Other brothers are talking about it on this platform, but it's in its idea stage. It hasn't been achieved yet. So in order for us to achieve it, we got to think, all right, let's lay out our options and see what will work best. Black sitting is something that could be beneficial for us. I recommend that we leave the poisons behind. Poisons like what? Like the alcohol, the marijuana, all of these things. I think that we need to be clear and sober-minded if we're serious about changing our condition, because the racist white supremacists will put the poisons out in hopes to detract and destroy what you've already built, because they'll use those poisons to the detriment of you, to slow you down. A lot of times we might consume those poisons to help deal with a lot of the stress, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the anger of dealing with the system, but we have to find better outlets. Marcus Garvey, he once said, if the Negro isn't careful, he'll drown in the poisons of Western society. And he was alluding to, you'll drown in the poisons of the white society if you aren't careful. Overconsumption, because they put these things there for a reason, and you're starting to see white society crumble over those very same poisons with the opioid epidemic. And they're kind of treating the opioid epidemic as a public health crisis. They're not treating the opioid epidemic how they handled the crack epidemic, you know, that they orchestrated, of course. But, you know, that's another topic. So I'll also say that if you're paying attention to the current international scene, I consume a lot of news. I recommend that other people, you know, pay attention to the news and see what's going on. But internationally, if you're watching, you have something very interesting over in the European Union, which is the Brexit. And that concept of Brexit, I took it and changed it into the Blaxit. But it started with the Brexit, and I'm going to touch on that for a second. Brexit is basically the British, the UK, looking to secede away from the European Union. They're looking to branch off and do their own thing. Now, this may not matter to us, but what you could see is a lot of changes in the international monetary funding. You'll see a lot of changes within how international funds are related and how international funds are exchanged. You're starting to see the seams crack a little bit. That's one example. Look over to France right next door. They're having a yellow vest revolution right now where the people are revolting against a luxury tax put down by the French government. So if you're looking internationally, the European Union, you're starting to see the seams rip, okay? Pay attention to the writing on the wall. And then look over here at the debacle of what the current political administration is going through with Trump in collusion. Like all of the people around Trump's cabinet, the national security advisor, his lawyer, all of these people are turning over, cooperating, and giving up information. So you're starting to see the foundations crack. You're starting to see the cards fall. So I'm saying, I suggest that if we're looking at the writing on the wall, and I know that a lot of times we think that we're comfortable right here, I'm suggesting that black people start emergency prepping today. Emergency prepping to give yourself water. You know, that's one, water, food, have a supply, because even like you saw Flint, Michigan, they can affect the water that's into your community. Like they have control over that. You paying white folks for your water bill. Most of us are. So have your own supply of water, food, just in case, because big picture, I'd rather you have these things and not need it than need it and not have it. As far as emergency prep is concerned, learn your Second Amendment. You have a right to it as a U.S. citizen. Learn your Second Amendment. Practice your Second Amendment. Have it. Be ready for it. Again, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. So these are things that you can start to do as black people to just make sure that you are ready for not if it goes down, but when it goes down. And that's just paying attention to the writing on the wall, which carries me into something else that I'll get into as far as make sure your online activism matches your real life activism. What I mean by that is I'm not just here talking to you and, you know, just being an online activist. Make sure that you're putting in that same work in person. I don't want to say in real life because this is real life too, but make sure you put it in that same work in person in your community. Yes, this has a role to communicate and talk to people. Technology has made it where as though I can talk to you from here and you be wherever you are. You can hear my message, which I do thank you for taking the time to listen to. But this is one piece of it. We have to also make sure that our real life, that we're matching that same energy, that same effort doing those things in real life. Another thing that I'll touch on is Dr. Frances Cress Wells, and she would always say that reading is more important than watching TV, which I'm going to just let that sit on you and let you think about that. She would say reading is more important than watching TV, and she would say it like three times in a row and tell people to repeat it, and she was really driving home a point that we have to be careful of what type of information we're consuming. Not that it's a problem with consuming information, but we have to be careful of what we're allowing in our psyche, allowing into the psyche of the next generation, and making sure that we're promoting reading and being intellectual warriors on the forefront. And this is a quick plug for the brother Knowledge Born. You know, he shared an online library with me, which was heavy. So, you know, there's outlets out there to read and consume information that'll better suit you to promote Black liberation. So what's your thoughts on that, brother?
Hey, brother, we are the option 3 and 4 over here. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some people you can talk to and you gotta, you know, dance and be colorful with. We not none of those people over here. You understand what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, for the last 3 years on this platform, every Wednesday we do a Black survival, Black prepper, general civilization course here. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So every Wednesday we've been teaching survival. You see what I'm saying? The National Minister of Defense of the Black Riders Liberation Party, Minister King Samir Shabazz, does it every Wednesday here. So we've done it. And, you know, from a myriad of perspectives in regard to re-engaging and reshaping the African mind for liberation. You see what I'm saying? So whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's psychologically, physically, you know, spiritually, all of the avenues of approach to our people. You see what I'm saying? In regards to painting a picture and a mindset of being liberation-minded and living a liberation-minded lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of the points that you brought forth thus far are very good and very positive and also, you know, very useful for the listening audience, you know, because they get a healthy dose over here, you know, with a lot more colorful language, if you understand what I'm saying. My
analogy
is if the warriors have to teach, then someone is not where they're supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying? If I have to teach you, then I'm not where I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, in charge of my post with all Black property in view. You understand what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, ready for the onslaught, ready for the attack. You see what I'm saying? This is my express purpose, you see? So if I'm here and I have to pull out the blackboard and get the chalk out and, you know, get on the bullhorn and all these other things, we're unprotected. And we're in a position where we're getting flanked on all sides. You see what I'm saying? We have scholars. We have warrior scholars and teachers. We have the wisdom of the sages, so to speak, in regards to our elders and our ancestors. So the warriors have to link with the warrior assets, the war, you know, sponsors that are going to sponsor the war effort. You understand what I'm saying? You know who wins?
Yeah, 100%.
You know who wins the war?
Say that one more time.
I said, do you know who wins the war?
Let me know.
The person who can fight the longest. You understand?
Mm.
So
and
you can outlast your enemy if you can fight longer than your enemy. If they prepare for 10 days and you prepare for 11 days, you got a day up on your enemy. You understand? After 10
mm-hmm.
days, they're done. They got to surrender. You see? So for the people that are not directly involved, they have to be indirectly involved. And you have to have the mind state and say, okay, if we look at just basically 2%, less than 2% of America's population is in its militaries, and they're fighting global war. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So any store you go to, anything that you purchase is going to support the war effort. You just don't see it because it looks as if you're getting the basic necessities that you need for your life. It looks that, oh, okay, I need this education in order to get this job. So that the people who's responsible for your education, the people who's responsible for your economics, the people who's responsible for your entertainment, and the other, you know, two quadrants of the nine major areas of people activity are using this for war. You understand what I'm saying?
So 100%.
Very cognizant of these things and really, really have an understanding of what's at work here and what's at stake here. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we take a very, very hard stance, and it's a stance that's seldom seen, but if you ask a warrior, this is what a warrior is going to tell you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the African proverbs that I always remind people of is from the Maasai, and they ask, and how are the children? And the response is, all the children are well. We don't live in a society where we can answer that question in the affirmative, Brother Abdul. We don't live in circumstances and situations that are in our realm and span of control to where we can say, and all the children are well. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the children are well, that means all of the adults are well. That means all of the elders are well. That means our ancestors are taken care of. But if we're not in a position collectively, individually means nothing. So if my children are well and your children are not, we are not well. I can't answer in the affirmative knowing that your children aren't well, knowing that your children are susceptible to the evils and the leeches and the parasites of this planet. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when we answer in the affirmative, we know that we are liberated. We know that we are unified. We know that we are strong. All of the children, not some of the children, all of the children are well. So they can grow up to be adults and have more children and build more strong African families. You understand what I'm saying? We can answer that in the affirmative. You know, because we're not looking, you know, oftentimes people hear the warriors talking, they're like, oh, you're just looking for somebody to hate. No. We're doing this out of love. You see? So when we answer in the affirmative, we're talking about all of the children are well. Just for the fact that someone has the African mind to even come to you and approach you and say, how are the children? You see what I'm saying? Look at the strange relationships where we have, where we go away from the communal setting and we say, you can't talk to my children. What you doing? You understand what I'm saying? Because of the sickness that's running rampant in the communities, where enmity in the heart is celebrated and empathy in the heart is looked upon as weakness. You see?
Mm-hmm.
What you mean? What you mean calling me brother? What you mean calling me sister? What you mean you was waiting at the bus stop to ensure all of the children got off? You some type of sicko? You want some children? You understand what I'm saying? So,
right. This
interaction that we didn't have with all of our enemies, where we look for an enemy within first. So now we're looking at this state and condition that we're in, and we have to answer the question. We have to answer the question, and how are the children? All of the children are well. You see? So we have to make it so. So it's not rhetorical. It's reality, you know? That was just my little couple 2 cents, you know what I'm saying? No, my little two cents on the subject.
And I'm going to stick right with that theme, like sticking with are all the children well, because that one of the first steps that I definitely promote is that building a black family. Like it'll start right at home. The community building starts right here with you and your family, like being an example of a good, healthy black family, not only being an example for your own kids and your own family, but being an example for other black families. And then also linking up with those same healthy black families, because if we want to start to promote that and see how the children are doing and we raising them well, we got to model it. We got to show them how it's done so the next generation knows what a good black, a good, powerful black family looks like. Because like you're saying, and I'm going to put it right back on the forefront of your mind, is that this ideology of black liberation, that's the end goal. That's where we're trying to get to. Now, we all have to have a clear understanding of what the end goal is. Yeah, we're going to have different roles within that, but we all want to get to the same part of that. Now, something else that you had mentioned that I think is interesting when we're talking to, you know, each other, talking to our brothers and sisters, or, you know, some people who may not even identify themselves as a brother or sister, may not identify as black, but you will notice some of that self-hate, saying things, you know, like, I'm not a brother, I'm not a sister, I'm not black. Y'all just looking for somebody to hate. Like, those types of conversations showed me again that this racial realization, that they do not understand their racial position, because had they understood that, they wouldn't be saying things like that. Now, as far as people who around, you know, this type of community who do understand these things, as far as I've been watching the opposition and I study the opposition, and I would recommend that everybody else studies the opposition, because they are most certainly studying you. They know how to make you laugh. They know how to make you cry. They know how to make you smile. They're definitely studying you. And what I say is I'm watching them, because you, if you go to the other side and see what they're talking about, and the good thing about YouTube and different platforms is you could go, you can have a, they're talking with the door open, and you could kind of see what's going on some of those channels, that they're talking about white genocide. They're talking about race mixing and how that's destroying the white ethno state. They're talking about those things over there, and they have a plan for how to deal with that. Now, when we have in our conversations, not everything, you know, will be put on air tonight, but when we're having our conversations, we got to make sure we're around strategic, like-minded people that know and understand not only what we need to do, but what the opposition is doing too. So we know how to effectively plan for whatever it is that's coming. Now, you do have a part of the opposition that is clear and methodical and knows what they're doing. But I also see a part of that group that's kind of falling asleep behind the wheel, that what their fathers and their grandfathers knew about implementing racism, white supremacy, this new generation might be a little bit asleep behind the wheel. Now, don't take that as we need to stop working and not doing everything that we are doing, but just know that if we have a chance to turn this thing around, put this back on the track toward black liberation, now is the best time to do it. Because it's a lot, like I mentioned, the international seams are cracking. You're seeing that some of the things here are starting to crumble. It's a shaky foundation. This is a time more than ever that we can do it. And I wouldn't be talking about solving a race problem if I didn't think that there was an ultimate solution. Like, if I thought that this was a problem that couldn't be solved, and I hear people say that. I hear people say, man, what you trying to solve? Racism. You can't solve racism. It'll always exist. And I don't agree with that. I disagree with that, because all problems have solutions. Like, this is a problem that's put together by people. Therefore, it can be taken apart by people. And we have to know that and be optimistic about it, that this is just people who have created a problem, who are benefiting a problem, who have no interest in solving it. So what we have to do is say, okay, we're on the other end getting disparaged by this problem, so we need to do everything in our power. The ultimate solution would be to fix it and get toward that end goal of black liberation that we had talked about. So something that I think that we could do as far as setting up the next generation for success, because if we're trying to build infrastructure and build a nation and put the next generation into position to do certain things, like run their own business, like buy a business, like franchise a business, like starting up their own, become an independent contractor, whatever it may be, for this next generation to be in a position to do these things, we have to make the sacrifices. We have to do what's best to put them in the position. Doing things like what? White folks, I kind of look at it like white folks, their parents get them a little economic stimulus package, either put them on set, you know, straight to college. They don't have to worry about paying anything. Get them a small business loan, let them get started up. But what happens is we playing 400 years of catch up, so we don't, a lot of times we don't have those things. But what I'm suggesting is that if we get on an economic plan and you start to save and if you start to invest, that in 25 years, 20 years, 15 years, you'll be able to have something nice to give to the next generation that will be like a launching pad to have them elevate and give them a boost when you handing them the baton. Like when you handing them baton, you give them a push in their back and then they start running, and that's how we get to the end goal. So that's kind of what I see it as far as the economic piece. You know, the brother wants me to get into that. You know, I can get into specifics about how we can, you know, use investments, because the way I see it is the stock market is something that a lot of people get rich from, specifically white people. They don't work that hard, and the money's making more money as they sleep. And we kind of say, I don't really want to fool around with that, but there's a lot of stuff in there that we could benefit from if we know it and we know how to use it and we know how it works. So I even do, you know, entire breakdowns of it, of how we can get involved and use stocks and use economics to our own benefit. Now, do I see using their economic system as a long-term end goal? Absolutely not. But while we're here, if this is the currency that the prison is ran under, we got to be, you know, a little bit realistic about, all right, the prison is ran by this rule. Let's use this rule and benefit from it in order to get where we want to go. What you think, brother?
Hey, please get into the economics. You understand what I'm saying? This is how you support the war effort. You know,
when
you have your mind oriented towards this particular goal, you have to, you know, begin with the end in mind. You see what I'm saying? So again, one of those aspects of saying, you know, the person who's the victor in the war is the one who can fight the longest. How are you going to fight, and how long you're going to fight, determines largely on your ability to economically sustain yourself in battle, you know.
And as far as that economic sustainability, looking at the stock market, the way it sort of works is that if everybody went to a flea market and some people were selling flip-flops, right? So you selling flip-flops, you don't really know if anybody's going to buy them, so you selling your flip-flops for a dollar. People like the flip-flops. Cool, you sell them for a dollar. Then you come in the next day, you got flip-flops with glitter on it. So now you start to sell the flip-flops with glitter, and you don't know if anybody wants to buy it, so you sell those for a dollar. You find out that a lot of people like those flip-flops with glitter, so you say, all right, you know what? I'm going to try to sell them for $20 and see if people will still buy them. People still come and they want to buy the flip-flops for glitter for $20. The person who initially bought the flip-flops for $1, if they wanted to sell those to somebody else, they could sell it, and then they've effectively increased $19. So that's sort of how the stock market works. You buy something for one particular price. As it grows, you can sell it back for a higher price, and then that money in between is what you make. What you'll find is that the market under President Obama did great. And, you know, I'm not an advocate of Trump, but I can at least say that the market has been continuing to go up under him. But as the market is currently going up, you're sort of riding a wave. So if you're putting in small bits of money, and let me take a step back. To get involved in stocks and investments, you don't have to be rich and you don't have to be super smart. A book that I always recommend people read is called A Random Walk Down Wall Street. And basically what they did a study. They had monkeys throwing darts at a dartboard with stocks on it. And then they had some of the New York Stock Exchange experts picking stocks. What they ended up finding was that the monkeys won a majority of the time. So monkeys randomly throwing darts at a dartboard, picking a stock from it, gathering a portfolio in comparison to what experts, and they watched both portfolios and saw how it grew. So you could see that monkeys throwing random darts, their portfolio matched experts. So that basically tells you is that you don't really have to be super smart and understand every element of the market. You could just start out. There's even things called penny stocks that you can get stocks for literally a penny. So what I recommend is that you just put in a little bit at a time. You could put in $5 a week. you know, you put in $5 a week into the stock market, buy stocks of whatever you want. If you like, you know, Coca-Cola, buy some of that. If you like Wendy's, buy some of that, whatever it may be. And I can show you, I can give you some stocks that I recommend that you go look up. Something that I recommend that people start to get into is drone technology, because I can see that that's going to be the next wave to sort of take off. So if you buy shares of a drone company right now, if let's say that it's $10 and the drone technology keeps going and people are starting to buy into it, in 5 years, that share that you bought for $10 might be worth $100. So all of that money in between, that's what you make. And that would just be on one share. So let's say you buy 10 shares of it, then you multiply your earnings by 10, and you'll see that's how your money starts to grow. The thing is, white people tell other white people this information. We get locked out of these types of conversations. We get locked out of the stock market and kind of deterred away from it. Nah, it's too complicated. Don't worry about this type of stuff. That's kind of what they try to pin on us. And I've been to a lot of predominantly black schools, and they don't teach the kids about stocks at all. Especially black kids, they don't teach them about stocks and about investments. But I can tell you in predominantly white schools, they are talking about it. They are teaching them about it because they see that this is supplemental income. This is money that you don't have to work hard for. This is money that you literally don't have to work for. You could click a couple buttons and you get the money coming in. So you can go on apps like Robinhood. You could start out with apps like TD Ameritrade, which you click on the stock, you buy it, and it's making money as you talk on the phone or as you listen to this conversation right here. So this isn't, and I'm saying this is just one part of it. Like, you could use that money toward the economic stimulus package of the next generation. You could teach the next generation about how to invest and how to do it, because white people are making billions, literally billions of dollars in this market and not telling us anything about it. Of course, once more black people start to get into it and they see that we're learning the game that they're on, of course they're going to change the rules on us. But as of right now, before they've done that, we got to have people who are constructive, people who are like-minded, to say, you know what, the time is now. Let me get involved in this and see what it's about, because it's money in that that you don't have to work hard for, that you can use toward the benefit of black liberation. All right, so that's where I'll you know, put it there is as far as the stocks. But even investing in general, if you want something that's a little bit more lower risk, if you like, I don't really want to risk, you know, putting that money in, you can invest in something like a certificate of deposit. Most banks have them. Speaking of banks, I'll take a step back. We should all have our money in a black-owned bank. We should all have our money in a black-owned bank. We should be supporting black-owned banks. There's probably one in your area. Just Google and look it up. I live in D.C. There's probably about four in D.C. alone. So check in your city, see what local black banks you have, and I would definitely recommend you putting your money into that black-owned bank. But you could use certificates of deposit. That's you know, an investment that you could use. Real estate. These are other things that you can invest in that is sort of like planting a seed for the next generation. Like, we're planting a seed, and we're going to see where it grows for the next couple of generations, so that when, you know, your little ones grow up, you'll have something to give them. Because what I've noticed is that you'll see a lot of white companies, such and such, father and sons, or this and that in family, where they have a family business. And I haven't seen many black people in a position that we can hand down a business. Because do you know what that does to the mind of the next generation? That, you know what, I'm going to go out and get it. I'm going to go out and do what I need to do. But just in case what I'm doing doesn't work out, I got a fallback plan. I got an investment portfolio that my parents set up for me. I got a business that my parents have handed to me. Then, and I've been learning this business as I've been growing up. So in my back pocket, I'm already set. Like, that puts you in a much different situation than if you going out starting from zero and don't really know how to navigate the system using that. So what it starts with, and as I look at places like Chinatown, which are in every city, they've had something which is like Chinese food. They made it a commodity, and they've built their communities off of that. When somebody come over for China or wherever part that they're coming from, they line them up with a job, they give them somewhere to stay and set them up. Like, black communities, and we have black communities that we could commoditize something, that we could collect and pull our resources together to use it as a launching pad for somebody else that's trying to come up. Because I look at North Philly, for example. I grew up in Philly. North Philly was once a prosperous black city with a black bank, black movie theater, black businesses, black taxi companies, like sort of like a little mini Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was right there in Philly at one point in time, right in North Philly, but it kind of dissipated after a while. So we've had the prosperous black city, the black community, but now we need to figure out how to apply that in 2019 by pulling our resources together. What resources? Like the ones I mentioned to you that you can get through investing, which isn't even you going out and working hard. It's you allowing your money to work for you, using that to bring to the community and do something with it, and having that as something that we offer as a commodity for people that are coming in and trying to use that to launch off of. Another contemporary example, you can look right at Prince George's County, Maryland, where, you know, this is a prosperous black community, but they aren't flourishing collectively. Like, you have a lot of individual people flourishing in that, but collectively flourishing because we haven't connected the dots of the community aspect of pulling the resources together and elevating as a group. But with the right training, with the right information to the right people, we can absolutely 100% get there. And that's part of what this interview is about. That's part of what channels like Do the Knowledge Radio and other brothers that are, you know, conscious and trying to move toward black liberation. That's where we're trying to get to. And I'll listen to your thoughts on that, brother.
And you know you want it. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of attention also, just to caveat, is not given to, you know, the medium by which the propaganda is being put out. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, there's a lot of attention that's going around to things that are contrary to liberation efforts. You see what I'm saying? But not